This is a commercial-free, streaming-on-demand presentation from WBPN.
Charlie Kendall's
Metal Shop.
America's premier hard rock band, Aerosmith, was formed in 1970 after Steven Tyler, who was in Boston's Chain Reaction, performed at the same gig as Joe Perry and Tom Hamilton's Jam Band. Tyler loved the band's sound and suggested that they combine the two groups together. Later in October of that year, the two outfits considered the idea once more and agreed that Tyler would helm lead vocals and not drums, as he had in Chain Reaction. As such, the new band was formed. Filling out the rest of the roster would be Berkeley grads Joey Kramer on drums and Brad Whitford on guitar. Here's the enigmatic frontman to talk about his early years prior to forming Aerosmith.
I grew up under the piano. When he practiced for 4 hours a day, my father. And he still does practice for 2 hours a day now. He doesn't play anymore, but I mean, he doesn't teach anymore, but he still plays. His father and his father's brother, all of them, my father's uncles and his father, had a cello. They did all the El Grande hotels up and down New York and up in New Hampshire, and I mean the real grand old wooden hotels, and they played the parlor music. And then my father, with the help of me, I played the drums in the 60s and society music. And then from that, I went to rock and roll. I said, I hold this.
Edge of town, where we all live, ain't a soul around. People start coming, all we do is just a grin. Well, we gotta move out, cause the city's moving in. I said, we gotta move out, cause the city's moving in. What you need, or maybe I can go too. No one knows the way but maybe me.
there. Nobody shows where, nobody knows where you can find me. Hey, yeah.
Good morning, glory, hallelujah to you. What else is going on? What's been going through you? Living like a king on the fat of a land. Working like a dog in a rock and roll band. We're moving, we're getting out. We're moving, without a doubt. Talk with yourself and you'll hear what you want to know. Gotta rise above, cause below it's only getting worse. Life in time will take you where you want to go. Just a grin. Well, we gotta move out, cause the city's moving. I said we gotta move out, cause the city's moving in.
Aerosmith and Moving Out, the first composition from the writing team of Steven Tyler and Joe Perry. This rough version can be found on the 1971 The Road Starts Here demo compilation that was released in 2021. During this time, the band moved into a house together located at 1325 Commonwealth Avenue in Boston and spent most of their days writing, rehearsing, and relaxing between gigs. One day, while getting high and watching the Three Stooges, which happened most afternoons, the band gathered to decide on a name for the troupe. Monikers that bounced around were The Hookers, Spike Jones, and Fox Chase. After initially being shot down by bandmates, Joey Kramer's contribution was decided upon, and the quintet was christened Aerosmith. After securing a management deal with David Krebs and Steve Lieber in 1972, the band invited Clive Davis of Columbia Records to come see them at Max's Kansas City in New York. Since they were not on the booking schedule, the band had to pay the venue for the opportunity to play and showcase for a label president. Again, Steven Tyler.
We played there twice. Once before and got turned down, right?
Yes. Yeah. First
we
time
got passed on. They said, pack it in, boys. Go home and rehearse. And the second time we played, I remember I said, where's the dressing room? And there was none. So I went in and changed, and I came out, and Joe said, come here. And we looked out the window, and there were like five limousines parked out in front. I thought immediately, John Lennon's here. Holy you-know-what. What are we going to do? So the place was full. It was a paper house, which means it was all executives, and they were all from all the labels. And after we played and came off, Clive Davis came over to me and said, you're going to be a big star. And that was it.
Charlie Kendall's Metal Shop.
Thank you.
mental murder with nothing to show. And the judge of constipation go to his head, and his wife's aggravation, you soon end up dead. That's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. That's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. Got you with the cocaine, I found with your gun. No smooth face, a lawyer could get you undone. Say love ain't the same on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. That's the same old story, same old song and
same old song and dance from 1974's Get Your Wings, which is seen as the album where Aerosmith began to gel as a formidable unit. With a mixture of influences ranging from British rock to blues and then classical, Metal Shop wanted to know how Perry and Tyler's songwriting collaboration began.
Well, in the beginning it was Steven had melody in his head and he had music, you know what I mean, like music, structured music. And he had a lot of attitude and aggression and unstructured, turn it up all the way, manic stuff. I mean, what Tom and I were doing in the bind in 1966 or 67 isn't too far from what punk bands are doing now. I mean, punk music, except we were up in New Hampshire doing it to nobody, to the rafters, you know. But Steven saw that and saw all that power but there was no structure to it, and he helped, and he brought that in. I recognized that in him, and he saw what I had, and it was like, that's what made it happen. And, you know, like, it's that I learned a lot about songwriting from him, and he learned some things from me, you know, and it just sort of developed.
Yeah.
Aerosmith and the title track from their third release, Toys in the Attic. I'm Charlie Kendall. More to come from that LP right after this on The Only Show with Teeth.
Yo, this is Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, and you're listening to Metal Shop.
Hi, Bill Williams, the guy you hear in the middle of the day on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM. I like being in the middle because you're not rushing to get to work or rushing to get home. And if I can make your workday go a little bit faster with the biggest hits of all time and some fun, well, I'm happy to do that for you. Join me weekdays from 10 to 3 and we'll get through the workday together on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Charlie Kendall's Metal Shop.
Welcome back to our tribute to America's greatest hard rock unit, Aerosmith. Returning to 1975's Toys in the Attic, here's the band's first top 40 hit, Sweet Emotion.
Chick's no cinch, but I really get her going when I take out my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. The band that plays the blues. She just loves my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. I gave her a little pinch, but she said, now stop that jiving and get out that big 10-inch record of the band that played the blues. Well, the band that played the blues. She just loves my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. I cover her with kisses when we're in a lover's clinch. And when she gets all excited, she begs for my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. Well, the band that plays the blues. She just loves that big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. Smoking and liquor just makes her flinch. Seems she just goes for nothing except my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. Well, the band that plays the blues. She just loves my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues.
No sin, but I really get her going. But then I give out my big 10-inch record. Band that plays the blues. Well, band that plays the blues. She just loved my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. Stop at jiving. Now whip out your big 10-inch record of band of players of blues. A band of players of blues. She just loves my big 10-inch record of baby blues. I cuff her with kisses. And when we in lovers clinch, she gets all excited. When she gets on my big 10-inch record of band of players of blues. Well, a band of players.
With an original cut by Bull Moose Jackson, paired with a classic take from Aerosmith, that's Big 10-inch record times two. Here's Mr. Tyler to explain how the band decided to record that offbeat composition.
Zunk Bucher, who is now has a show up in New Hampshire, and his partner used to hang out in L.A. where Dr. Demento on KMET was flying his colors, and he sent us cassettes all the time, what was going on out in L.A. And that was on one of the tapes, and I remember bringing it in here, showing it to the guys, and it was thumbs up.
In between album releases, Columbia Records decided to re-release the track Dream On from their 1973 eponymous LP. Here's Steven to talk more about the origins of this classic rock staple.
My father's a classical pianist, and so there was always a grand piano sitting in the parlor. I would be tinkering on it all the time. And it came up there somehow, the pieces. I started playing it, and the guy said, what is that? Because in their musical repertoire, there was no classical music. So I thought, well, if I can transpose this piano stuff to guitar, what would be cooking? And so I did. And I remember, like it was yesterday, the moment arranging it in that basement. It was so beautiful.
Thank you. the past is gone. In the night, like dust to dawn. Isn't that the way?
Dream On, performed live at the 10th anniversary MTV special in 1991. I am the Butcher Charlie Kendall, and when we continue with our tribute to Aerosmith, we'll touch on the fan favorite, Rocks. Don't touch that dial, there's more Aerosmith to come, right here on the only show that hits critical mass each and every week.
This is Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith, getting wild and crazy with you on Metal Shop.
You're listening to 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM with the biggest hits from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and our new ladies' lingerie department on the third floor.
Charlie Kendall's Metal Shop.
Following the success of Toys in the Attic, the band laid down tape on what is seen as the group's most raw and menacing effort, Rocks.
We'll be right back. darling. Kendall, Steven Tyler calling.
A double shot from Aerosmith's Rocks LP, featuring the tracks Back in the Saddle and Nobody's Fault. In 1977, the band would release their last studio LP, for several years at any rate, with the original core lineup. That slab of vinyl was known as Draw the Line. While not as strong as Toys and Rocks, it remained a suitable addition to the group's catalog. Drugs and alcohol abuse had begun to take its toll on the members, and the writing appeared to be on the wall. The end was near. Here's Brad Whitford to explain.
Draw the Line was a very strange period, you know, Aerosmith's demise that it went through. People were off in their own little tangents, and they weren't touching ground very often. So it was a strange period, and you can hear it in the music, I think. You know, there's just not a lot of completed thoughts on that record.
Aerosmith, Draw the Line, as it appeared as a hidden track on 1978's Live Bootleg. I'm Charlie Kendall, and you're listening to the first of a multi-part tribute to America's greatest hard rock band, Boston's Aerosmith. Metal Shop's tribute to Aerosmith continues with the last track that the band recorded before the original lineup disbanded. The song we're talking about was a Beatles cover for the widely panned Bee Gees and Peter Frampton vehicle, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Metal Shop asked Steven Tyler if he had any regrets about being part of that movie.
No, not at all. Well, wait a minute. Yes, in that it wasn't a good movie. The editing was a fiasco. It was too much, I thought. Too much stuff ran into the storyline. Didn't happen. It was too scattered. But I loved the cameo that Aerosmith did. Everybody, since they've seen it, and said, oh, the movie sucks, but you guys are great. And I mean, I watch it myself, and I think it's great. I think it's marvelous. I love it. I love that we did, again, it's another thing that we get up there and did, and the director said, do this, that, that, and after five or six run-throughs, I had a whole thing down, and I just went for it, and it came out the best. You know, spinning around, throwing my scarves around her neck, knocking Strawberry Fields over. The only thing I didn't like was falling off the stage and dying. In fact, I had a big fight about that. I said, I am not dying in the hands of Peter Frampton. I said, no good. Rewrite the script.
Coming up on hour two of our celebration of Boston's favorite sons, Aerosmith, we'll touch on the two LPs that were created when Joe Perry and Brad Whitford exited the band. Then we'll look at the subsequent reunion in 1984 that spawned a successful tour and 1985's Done With Mirrors. Plus the unheard-of collaboration with Run DMC. And ultimately a return to glory with Permanent Vacation. We'll be right back.
This is Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, and we're getting down and dirty with you on Metal Shop.